Recently, I spoke with a doctor who was fired for refusing to perform transgender procedures on children. "I'm a doctor, not a butcher," he said. "Children suffering from gender dysphoria are subjected to risky medical procedures, such as hormone therapies, puberty blockers, and irreversible surgeries, risking chronic infections, permanent disfigurement, and long-term adverse mental and physical side effects. Biology tells us that from the moment of conception, we possess either an XY male or XX female gene pair. No medical procedure can change that. The Bible says God created man in his own image, male and female created he them. Gender transitioning is an attack on God's created image. Treatment should address the underlying spiritual, mental, and emotional problems causing gender dysphoria, rather than maiming or altering healthy bodies or interfering with the natural physiological development of a child." This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. Let's pray for and protect children rather than mutilate and experiment on them. To do otherwise is mental dysphoria.
I'm Pastor Alan Jackson. Did you know that more than 80 million Americans daily depend on AM radio for conversation, news, weather reports, and emergency information? A new bill in Congress would ensure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only access to vital communication. Visit dependonam.com to learn how to make your voice heard and keep AM radio in vehicles for the next generation.
For over a century, local radio has evolved with the needs of the community. From politics to pop culture, we keep you informed, bringing you the most relevant news. Online, on air, and on the go. You have trusted us with your news, sports, weather, and entertainment. Trust us to keep moving with you. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress local broadcasting is here to stay.
WHKW, W245CY, Cleveland, encouraging you to head back to church this Sunday. A service of Salem Media Group. Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 8 a.m. on The Word.
Wish there was a place to find good, clean, family-safe entertainment? A place with no violence or profanity? Where you can let the kids roam free? That place is the all-new GodTube.com. Watch inspirational videos that'll challenge and motivate. Catch the latest music videos from Christian artists like Jeremy Camp, Hillsong, and Chris Tomlin. And share a laugh with clean comedians like Tim Hawkins, Anita Renfro, and more. All free, 24/7, right in your own home at the simple touch of a button. Visit the new GodTube.com. That's GodTube.com.
The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone lines are open. You can call 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this evening. And, well, we got several things coming up. Election Day's coming up a week from Tuesday. And, of course, this Tuesday is Halloween. And, well, I think what I'm going to do, or All Saints Day, you could call it that as well. But I'm going to share something here tonight. I've got a couple of, I guess for lack of a better term, biblical ghost stories that we'll look at since Halloween is coming up. People like to think about these sorts of things at this time of year. And so we'll take a look at a couple of accounts in the scripture that I would call biblical ghost stories. One, and of course, we'll talk about what a ghost is, I guess, in a sense, when we get into it to help distinguish. But I think you'll find these things interesting as we look into them. But of course, also, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, You can listen to past programs. You can read some articles that I have there. I've got some of the things that we've done dealing with the situation over in Israel and the war Israel's involved in with Hamas and increasingly more with Hezbollah and other Iranian proxies, and it is growing. Things are happening over there, and so do pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the Bible says. Pray for the safety of Israel and for the Jewish people worldwide. If you've been watching the news, we're seeing not just hundreds, but literally thousands of people chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. And they're doing this across America on American campuses. They're doing this they had several thousand people going across the Brooklyn Bridge, I think, in New York, one of them, and in L.A., different places, all around the world, in London, Paris, different places around the world. And, on October 7, there was a lot of support and sympathy for Israel that was brutally attacked by Hamas and without warning, and a surprise attack. And we can debate some of the things about how that happened or occurred or how it was able to, but fact of the matter is it happened, and so many people were killed. And when you look at the reports, the absolute savagery, it's just like demonic motivated savagery. And of course they were high on I think it's Captagon or some type of, it's an amphetamine like drug that's very common over there in the Middle East. They find their pockets full of these pills, and they're being made largely in Syria and I think Lebanon to a degree, and it takes away a lot of inhibition, makes people, hypes people up, more aggressive, less fear, less tired, and like I said, it takes away inhibition, and they tend to be much more savage. And it's not just the Hamas militants that were guilty of these things. It was the people of the Gaza Strip, because when the Hamas militants opened the holes in the gates, they waved the people through, the regular people in Gaza. And if people say, oh, the civilians, we can't harm the civilians. Well, these civilians were coming in. Some of the atrocities attributed to them are greater than the atrocities committed by the Hamas militants. And the way that we know about it is they documented it on their cell phones and posted it on social media, bragging about the things that they did. So we've got some stuff addressing some of that on our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And there's other things there, as well as a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And so you can find out more about that. We'll have some of that information here later on in the program. But just go to livewithpastoral.com, and you can find out all that information as well. But in the meantime, I did want to share a couple other things with you. And, I was going to say something, too, and it's talking about the chant from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. That very much reflects the Hamas covenant of 1988, which basically says, and I quote, "Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it." And that was Hamas covenant 1988. And that's what the phrase "from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free" encapsulates. They do not want a two-state solution. Our government is trying to push this two-state solution thing again. That's a mistake. God has a dim view of those that want to divide the land. Even when Israel has embraced the two-state solution in the past, the Arabs, the Muslims, have never accepted it. Yasser Arafat, who was the founder of the Palestine Liberation Organization, and just a reminder, and you can see the article all online at livewithpastoral.com. You can find the article, Who Are the, or Will the Real Palestinians Please Stand Up? Palestinian is just a name. It's not an ethnic group that exists today. The name is synonymous with the Philistines in the King James Bible. You can look it up. Get a King James Bible. You'll find Palestine in there in Palestinian. And it's synonymous with Philistines and Philistia. And it's the same word, just different ways of saying it. And the people that are over there, they're Arabs, is what they are, and predominantly Muslim, though not all Muslim. And Yasser Arafat himself, the founder of the Palestine Liberation Organization, was Egyptian. He was an Egyptian Arab. And he more than once, he was offered what he claimed that he wanted. He claimed that he wanted a two-state solution. And he was offered that. And each time the offer was made, it was refused. Because what they really want is what's there in the Hamas Charter of 1988. Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it. And so what they really mean when they say from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, is from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean, Palestine, the land there will be free from Jewish presence. They do not want a two-state solution. They want it all. They may, from time to time, talk as if they want a two-state solution, like Yasser Arafat was famous for doing, but they never, when it comes right down to it, want it, because they believe that Israel, meaning the Jewish people, needs to be obliterated. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free of any Jewish presence. That's what they want. It's nothing short of a call to genocide. And these people prancing around in Times Square, prancing around in L.A. and different places, prancing around London, they're calling for nothing short of genocide. Genocide. And trying to make that sound like they're humanitarians while they're doing it. Well, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. More of that on our website at livewithpastoral.com. But I wanted to go a little bit different direction here tonight. And that is, since Halloween is coming up on Tuesday, I wanted to share what I call a couple of biblical ghost stories. So we'll start on that here this evening. And we are a live program, and we are open to people calling. And our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you want to call in with a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, or talk about something we've been talking about. But in the meantime, let me share with you here a story in the book of Job. Now, the book of Job is an interesting book, and it's a challenging book. Several years ago, I preached through the entire book of Job from the first to the last chapter, and it took us a little while to get through it, but you learn a lot when you go through a book like that. And I certainly, as a pastor, learn a lot when I preach through books of the Bible. But the basic setup in the book of Job is that we have this individual Job. Now, Job's a very interesting individual in and of himself. And as you study out Job in the Bible, the indication in the Bible is that Job was a descendant of both Ishmael on his mother's side and Esau on his father's side. And some of that information is in Genesis chapter 26, and there's just some different things there that indicate that. I'm not going to get into all that at the time, but this means that he's a descendant of Abraham, but he's not Jewish. This is he's probably contemporary with the time of Jacob. And remember Jacob, who was named Israel by God, and he had his 12 sons, which made up the 12 tribes of Israel. And Job would have been basically a cousin to Jacob. As I said, mother's side, he was a descendant of Ishmael, which of course was Abraham's first son by the Egyptian servant Hagar. And then Hagar was given her freedom, which meant that Ishmael no longer could inherit anything from inherit the birthright or anything from Abraham. So he lost the right of the firstborn, and that went to Isaiah. And Isaiah, I'm getting all off on my words here, to his son Isaac. And then, of course, Isaac had two sons, and Isaac's firstborn, he had fraternal twins. The firstborn was Esau, and the second was Jacob. And the birthright ended up going to Jacob, not Esau, even though Esau was the firstborn. So you can see where Job's tied in with the with Abraham and the other descendants of Abraham through Ishmael and Esau. When we look at Job here in Job chapter 1, God commends him. And he says in Job 1, verse 1, there's a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And it talks about him and his godly character and how he prayed for and sacrificed on behalf of his children. And essentially what happens here in Job is that Satan goes before God and he accuses Job, and God gives Satan permission initially to touch that which Job has, because Satan told him, if you the only reason he serves you is because you blessed him. Take away what he has, he'll curse you. And then in chapter 2, the devil comes back again, and Job has not cursed him, and he says, well, it's because you protected him personally, and he's willing to lose everything as long as he himself doesn't suffer. And God gives him permission to touch Job physically, and Job, of course, becomes covered with boils and all sorts of things. And by this time, he's lost just about everything, including all of his children, and the only one left essentially is his wife, who even says, curse God and die. So he's in a very sad state. And he has three friends that come and sit with him for a while and then begin talking to him after Job makes a statement. And then they begin to address him. And the key to understanding the book of Job really comes in Job chapter 4, when Eliphaz the Temanite begins speaking to him. And you can see Eliphaz, also a son of Esau. He's in Genesis chapter 36 as well. And when Eliphaz begins speaking to Job and talking to him, he begins to basically accuse Job of harboring secret sin, and that the whole reason that Job is suffering all of this tragedy and everything is because he's a big hypocrite. He's been pretending to be a godly person, but he's really harbored secret sin. And how does Eliphaz know this? Well, this is where the ghost story portion comes in. Eliphaz is talking, and he begins to say this in Job chapter 4, verse 12. He says, now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof, in the thoughts from the visions of night, when deep sleep falleth on men. Fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, the hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes, there was silence. And I heard a voice saying, shall a mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to morning. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom. Now, here's what happened to Eliphaz. He went to sleep that night in the thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men. This is what he went to sleep. In the verse before that, he said, a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine eye or my ear received a little thereof. So while he was sleeping, this message was delivered to him secretly. And it came when, in the middle of the night, He said in verse 14, "Fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up." This is why I call this a biblical ghost story. Because the spirit passed before him. His hair stood on end. And he became fearful. He trembled. His bones, he said, were shaking. And this is all the characteristics of a ghost story, isn't it? The spirit, though, it's not the ghost of somebody who has died, but what it is, it's a fallen spirit. It is one of the angels of God that rebelled against God along with Lucifer. The Bible indicates that about a third of the angels followed Lucifer in his rebellion against God, and they became what the Bible refers to variously as devils, as unclean spirits, as fallen angels, as familiar spirits, and there's a few other things, but those are the main ones right there. And so this spirit passed before his face. This was not the ghost of somebody who lived there one time and met a tragic end. You know, speaking of that, I've always wondered, not too far from where we're at, probably about halfway between the studio here where I'm at and where I live, and you go about there and then get off and you go down into the Cuyahoga Valley National Park, which if you've never been there and you're looking to add a park onto your list of parks to look at, I encourage you to do so. But there's a particular area in the Cuyahoga Valley National Park where there is a bridge that the story, and I've heard this since I was young, since I was a teenager, or their high school age or college age, and the story goes that if you park your car in the bridge late at night, that you'll hear voices of children. And there's people who said, "Oh, we did this, and we felt tapping on the car, and we've gotten frightened, and we drove off, and later we saw handprints like from children on the window of the car or something like that." And even somebody said they were there and they felt their car being pushed. And the story goes that sometime back in the 1800s or thereabouts, a carriage with a number of children in it crashed into the Cuyahoga River, and the children were tragically killed. And to this day, they don't know they're dead. And I thought about that. Okay, somebody dies, and they don't know they're dead. How can they not know they're dead when they can't leave the place where they're at, because that's usually what happens with these various ghost stories. They're stuck where they died tragically, and they never go anywhere. Everybody that sees them runs away in fear. You would think that after, you know, a couple of decades or so, you might start to get the hint that something's not quite the same. I would think so, but of course you're dead, so that must mean they're brain dead, so that would, I guess, explain that. But so for 100 years or more, these kids don't know they're dead, and they tap on the car windows, which, okay. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says absent from the body means for the believer to be present with the Lord. And, of course, absent from the body for the unbeliever means to be in hell. And so people in hell would certainly like to be hanging around the Cuyahoga River rather than in hell. And the people in heaven are certainly not want to come back to the Cuyahoga Valley when they're in heaven. So it's not going to be the ghost of a departed person that does this. But we see a spirit passing before Eliphaz's face, and the hair of his flesh stood up. He became fearful and trembled, and his bones began to shake, because in the presence of one of these fallen angels, who often, and that's why they're called familiar spirits sometimes, often imitate the those that have died previously and try to foster some of these things to get people to disbelieve the Bible. That's what we have going on. And this spirit here, as I said, it's not a departed person. It is a fallen angel. And it stood still, he said, and he couldn't discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes, he said. But he couldn't quite make it out. You know,
If you've ever studied some of this these things, these phenomena, have you ever heard of the shadow people, the shadow figures that you'll see? And the idea is that you'll see oftentimes out of the corner of your eye, it looks like a silhouette or a shadow of somebody standing in the doorway or standing in the hallway, standing against the wall or something. And then when you try to focus on it, you can't, and it almost disappears. It sounds a lot like that. So all of these things that you see in the secular ghost stories, many of them are in a sense referenced right here, the spirit passing before and causing someone to become fearful and not being able to discern the form, and you see an image but you can't quite focus on it, and then the silence, and then you hear a voice speaking, and that's what he hears. And this voice that speaks is this fallen angel that is addressing Eliphaz, and basically puts it into the head of Eliphaz that Job is harboring secret sin. And this, as I said, is the key to understanding much of what goes on in the rest of the book. As Job's talking back and forth with his three friends, they all keep coming to this idea that he's harboring secret sin. And it comes back to Eliphaz listening to a fallen angel, a false spirit, an unholy spirit, a devil or a demon is a term that we often see used today. And he listened to it. He allowed it to put a thought into his head. And that's when Eliphaz should have been supportive of his friend and been there for him, instead becomes accusatory, accusing Job of being a hypocrite and somehow deserving the suffering that he's going through. And that's another key thing, is the information that's usually imparted in one of these secular ghost stories really doesn't accomplish a whole lot of good, generally speaking. And I know there's people who come up with exceptions on that, but generally speaking, there's not a lot of good that comes from it. Usually causes more problems in the long run. And again, this is because when you're dealing with unclean spirits, they're just exactly that. They're unclean. And their goal is to confuse, to demoralize, and to disillusion people, and certainly keep you from believing the Word of God. And so this is something that we need to be on guard against. And I usually like to talk about this around Halloween time because people are thinking about that. And people, I heard a guy on the radio one time a few years ago. It was supposed to be a Christian program. And somebody was saying, well, there's this hand that would turn this light switch on and off. And the guy that was the host goes, well, I don't know nothing about that. And I said, well, if you read your Bible, you would know something about that. You know, the Bible talks about unclean spirits, devils, familiar spirits doing things to confuse, even if possible, believers themselves. So be on guard against that sort of thing. I'll save the next one here. I think we've got another one to look at in 1 Samuel chapter 28. We'll save that for the next half hour. Again, think about these things. I remember having a conversation with a waitress one time back years ago. There used to be a family restaurant next to our church building that we were meeting in at the time. And we were talking about what a ghost was. And she said, well, when I married my husband, I moved into the house that he grew up in, and I never met his mother because she had passed away before I ever met my husband. And yet her spirit comes to comfort me, and I can feel her presence when I'm in the kitchen, for instance, washing dishes, and sometimes can feel her massaging my shoulders, and it just makes me feel good. How can that be wrong? And I said, well, you know, first place, if she was saved, she's in heaven. If she wasn't saved, she's not in heaven. And she's not going to come back either way. And so it has to be a false spirit. So, well, why would a fallen angel imitate my mother-in-law? And I said, well, partly to get you to doubt the Word of God. And she said, well, I don't believe that. And I said, see, you're doubting what's in the scriptures. And she said, well, I just can't believe what's in the Bible because I know what I'm experiencing. And she just wasn't getting it. her experience with this spirit made her doubt what the scripture said. And because of that, she didn't want to accept the fact that the Bible says that when you leave this world, it's appointed a man wants to die after this, the judgment, you're going to spend eternity either with the Lord or apart from him in the lake of fire. And we need to make a decision. And the devil doesn't want you to believe the gospel message. The devil does not want you to spend eternity with the Lord. He wants to condemn you. He wants to condemn you to a Christless eternity. Say, why would he want that? Well, because he hates that which God loves, and God loves you, he loves me. And the devil wants to do nothing more than destroy and hurt that which God loves. It grieves God in his heart when he has to cast somebody out into hell or into the lake of fire for all eternity. He doesn't enjoy that. And the devil knows that God does not enjoy that. And so he's trying to hurt God as much as he can. And he'll do whatever he can to confuse people in order to keep them from coming to Christ, even if it means imitating a bunch of kids that died in the 1800s that don't know that they're dead, and just to make people doubt the Word of God. Well, stay tuned. We're going to be taking a short break here. We'll be with you until midnight tonight, so we've got another half hour to go here this evening, and encourage you to check us out here. Was that 2 minutes? I'm sorry, I thought we were at a minute there. I got just a little longer than what we said. That's okay. I just wrapped up my story there. But before we come to the break, which is going to come up a little bit, just a reminder, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. And be in prayer for what's going on over in Israel and the situation there. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we are fighting against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. And in fact, we might even explore something there that in the book of Daniel gives us a little insight into that too. Excuse me. It might give us a little more insight into that. But we live in a world that is affected by what's happening in the spiritual realm. And there is a battle going on for your heart and your soul and for the heart and soul of your family and friends. And, without Christ, we're on our own. We're essentially defenseless. And if you read there in Ephesians chapter number 6, it talks about the armor of God that we have. And, of course, that armor only comes when we put our faith in Christ. The Spirit of God takes up residence in our heart, and God cloaks us with his armor. And that's where he says in Ephesians 6, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You need the armor of God in the battle that you're involved in. And the only way to get it is to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, we've got a break coming up here, this time for sure, and stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll stick with us here. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, there's some articles that I've written that are available there and some other materials. And you can also listen to our past programs if you don't get both hours of our Sunday night program. We're actually on 10 o'clock until midnight. Some places only from 11 o'clock till midnight. We have all of that available at livewithpastoral.com. We also have our Friday afternoon program. We have a Friday afternoon program in the northeastern Ohio, Cleveland area that is from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And you can find all that at livewithpastoral.com. All right, and we are talking about some biblical ghost stories here on the program tonight. And I'm going to share another one with you that comes out of 1 Samuel. The last half hour, we were talking about one from the book of Job. We're going to look at 1 Samuel here. And this is one that every once in a while get somebody that'll take the thing here and try to make it seem a few things other than what it says. But we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter number 28. And to set the stage for this one, what we see here is King Saul is in fighting against the Philistines. And things are not really going well for him. And Samuel, the prophet, had died. And so God has been silent towards Saul, and partly because of Saul transgressing in his office as the king, doing things that he should not have done, not doing things that he was supposed to do. And so God is basically silent towards Saul. The battle with the Philistines is not going well. And so Saul wants some help. And since he can't get it from God, he decides to go to the other side, so to speak. And so it says in 1 Samuel chapter 28, and we'll start in verse number 4 here. Let's go back up to verse 3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Now, familiar spirits, as we've discussed, that's another name for fallen angels. Familiar spirits, unclean spirits, devils, these are all terms that are used in relation to them in the King James Bible. And another term that some people would think today is the word demon. And so these are the familiar spirits and the wizards. These are those that consult with familiar spirits and things like that in order to discern the future and bring prosperity or curses, things like that. And so it says that the Philistines gathered themselves together in verse 4 and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Now, the Urim, and it was a thing that had these stones that they would put in the vest, or in the breastplate of the high priest, and they would. There's a lot of question of the Urim and Thummim, what they were, and they would discern the Lord's will by that sometimes. And so God's not speaking to Saul, and Saul is fearful. He sees the host of the Philistines arrayed against him. He's afraid. He says his heart greatly trembled. He's not getting anything from God. So it says in verse 7, very sad. A thing that happened in Saul's life here. In verse 7, it says, "Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her." Now think about this. This is a man that swore to worship and serve Jehovah God. This is a man that had banished those that had familiar spirits out of the land. And now he's seeking after someone that has a familiar spirit to inquire of her. And this is what we see people doing today. They don't get what they want from God. Either they don't get it fast enough, or they don't get the right answer, or they don't seem to get any answer at all. And so right away, they'll go to some sort of occultic method of getting information, going to familiar spirits, checking their horoscope, checking out, what some fortune teller or palm reader or somebody like that can say. In the first place, most of your fortune tellers and things like that are frauds, and they're very skilled at cold reading people. And if they can do a hot reading, look it up online what cold reading and hot reading is. Very skilled at reading people and basically telling people what they want to hear. But there are some that do tap in to a spiritual power, but it's not of God. And this woman here, he's looking for a woman that has a familiar spirit, meaning that they can tap into a spiritual power other than God. And he says he wants to go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, "Behold, there's a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor."